Hello and welcome to Talent Takes Time, a series of conversations with people in the sports media industry about what it takes to achieve success in the field. So far, I've been speaking with broadcasters mainly, but I know there are many people out there who would much rather write than be on the other side of the camera, so this episode is for you. This is my final episode of this current series, and my guest to see us out is Martin Ziegler, who's been the Times chief sports reporter for over two decades. Martin has covered six Football World Cups, five Olympic Games, and reported in more than 30 countries. He's had quite a career, to put it mildly. Talent Takes Time is all about the journey, the hard work, and the experience, and Martin is the perfect example of this. He started his career on the Hull Daily Mail in 1991 and worked for the Press Association in 96 before joining the Times in 2000. We started by speaking about his long career.
So let's talk about how you got to where you are in your career. Obviously, it must have been a long and convoluted pathway, but can you give us a summary of how you got there?
Yeah, I mean, I went the sort of what was the traditional route at the time, which was started in local newspapers, worked for them for about 5 years at the Hull Daily Mail, doing news, and then I joined the Press Association. I was there about 4 years before I actually became their chief sports reporter, covering the same sort of issues I did now. And then actually probably 15 years doing that for PA. And then the Times approached me and asked me to join them in 2016. And yeah, haven't really looked back.
I mean, I talk a lot about the work-life balance and juggle. And to be honest, I don't think you can truly get that balance right in our industry because it is so relentless. How do you try, though, and how close have you come to it?
Yeah, I mean, I've got... I have children of ages ranging between 20 and 3, so I've got four children. And obviously, work-life balance is really important to me, and it is a real challenge. And it's something... My wife works full-time as well, So it's something we sort of strive for, but there are constant challenges, especially if there's sort of big breaking stories and things like that, and the news happening at all times of day. So it might be in the evenings. It's a tricky one. I think there are journalism does offer some benefits in terms of there are times actually where you can have more time with your children. Than perhaps you might not get if you're in a working in the City of London, perhaps, and you're not getting home till 8 o'clock or something. So I think there are sometimes some bonuses, but other times it's really difficult.
Let's talk about some of those sacrifices, because of course we make sacrifices on a daily basis, but are there some big ones that stand out to you, things that perhaps you might feel a little bit guilty about or perhaps just keep coming back to haunt you?
Yeah, I mean, because my particular job is covering quite a lot of international events, you know, FIFA and UEFA and World Cups and Olympics. And so I've missed a fair few birthdays for the kids down the years, which they've always reminded me about, just in case I wasn't feeling bad enough anyway. I think those stand out particularly as things that I've particularly missed and felt it's something I wish I hadn't happened, but it has. I don't really like being away, but if it's a World Cup and you have to be away for 5 weeks, which I've done a couple of times, that's a long time to be away. And I know for some sports reporters it can be even longer, like the rugby writers, it can be two whole months. I think that if you've got a family, that's really, really difficult.
So on the fatherhood issue, what is the biggest challenge day to day?
I think it's if you're working for a newspaper, a daily newspaper, quite a lot of the decisions aren't made about the next day's paper till sort of late afternoon. So it could be sort of 5 o'clock. And I think because I've got a 3-year-old daughter, it's 5 o'clock, obviously tea time and then bath time and then bedtime. And that 5 to 7 period is very often competing demands because she's home, she's hungry, tired. And at the same time, it can be one of the times when the people at the desk are wanting to speak to you, talking about what they want for the newspaper, and then actually try and get the stories written as soon as possible. So that's probably the most the trickiest day-to-day issue, but we manage it between us somehow.
It's so easy to assume, as you drink your morning cuppa and read Martin's articles, that he's sat in an office and returns home each night. But the amount of travel is relentless, and that's something you must know when you're entering this industry. You'll often not get to see more than a stadium and a hotel bed, despite being in a beautiful city. You'll be boarding flights at 3 a.m. and back in the office the next day after a few hours sleep. Budget hotels, flights and motorway food dominate your lifestyle, and if exercise is important to you, sometimes the only way is a quick run in the morning before a press conference or a training session. There really is little time for fun.
What do you think the hardest thing for men is? Do you think it's the fact that the pressures of perhaps being a breadwinner? I know that both you and your wife work, but it's not always the case, is it?
No, that's not always the case. I mean, it's I think actually if you both work, then you have like competing demands, don't you? Because you're then saying, you know, why should my job take priority over your job, for example? Or I think that must be a fairly common thing when both partners are working.
I have this juggle with my husband while we both work, and often when child-related things come up, I automatically jump to do it. And I think it's kind of ingrained within me, but sometimes I might have a massive interview with a player or something, and it might actually be more important than my husband's, but it's a strange one, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a strange one. I mean, I think if it's one of those things that you have to try and both take your turn, as it were, to be the person who makes way. I'd certainly try and do that, and if I think, because there is a thing I think where you feel, especially perhaps when you get a new job, that you have to do everything and you don't want to say no to anything. And it's difficult saying no to your bosses for childcare reasons. I think it's really difficult. But I think that it's just something you have to be confident enough to do, really.
I've said it so many times before, but saying no is a problem for me and clearly for so many others in this industry. We feel if an opportunity is presented to us, we must take it. But there's a lot to be said for trying to strike a good balance and avoiding burnout.
Raw talent's obviously incredibly important, but hard work is everything. Contacts are everything. What can you say about that?
Yeah, I think contacts in sports journalism are really, really, I think they're the key thing in a way. I mean, because I'm fortunate that I've been doing this sort of this type of role for 20 years, that, you know, I've just through longevity, I know a lot of people, and that's really helpful. So I think people coming in into my particular area of sports journalism, it takes time, you know, and especially in lockdown, because a lot of it is getting to meet people, and you're going to conferences, going to events, going to press conferences, and it's much more difficult if you don't actually meet people face to face. So I think that's one of the big challenges of people who perhaps haven't got that many contacts, actually making those contacts. It's really difficult.
Are you one of those people? I mean, clearly you're an excellent writer. Are you very comfortable people's person? Do you love being around people? Do you love asking questions? Because you seem to, when I read everything you've written, you seem to really get to the nitty gritty very quickly. And I wonder how you do that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure people who knew me well would call me a people person particularly. I don't know why.
But, how do you get the best out of people then?
Well, I think it's more about knowing the issues and asking very detailed questions, and, you know, exploring every angle. I mean, I think relationships maybe people wouldn't say I was a people person, but I mean, I've got really lots of good relationships with people. So, you know, I probably feel able to, you know, ask some things on background I think once you've built up the trust with somebody, you know, people trust me, I think. So they're, I think they're, believe that I'll reflect the information accurately, so that's helpful. But I think, yeah, exploring every angle and looking at the details of everything, and I think that's probably the most important thing for me. But yeah, maybe the trust thing is equally important.
Just my final question. We talk about career trajectories and pathways, and a lot of people say that careers don't always look like this, and sometimes you have to take sideways steps or steps down, or do a job that perhaps seems beneath you. Have you ever had to do something like that that perhaps came back to help you years down the line?
Well, I suppose actually when I first went to the Press Association. So I think I'd been offered another job at the Yorkshire Post as news editor, which on the face of it sounded sort of more attractive. Whereas when I was going to the Press Association, it was a slightly undefined role. So it was more about what I could make of that. And actually, very quickly, I was appointed assistant sports editor there. So it was the right decision. But when I took it, was a slight gamble probably when I took that post. But I thought there was, because it was a national news agency rather than a regional newspaper, that I thought there was probably more opportunity there to progress. So I think sometimes you have to take a bit of a chance. Yes, that's for sure.
Even if writing is what you want to get into, it's important to note that these days multiple disciplines are required to succeed. And so Martin can often be heard on Times Radio discussing his stories or on TV or podcasts such as this one. It's pretty important to be able to turn your hand to these areas, even if it's not necessarily your thing. For someone whose career has spanned 4 decades, I didn't want to let Martin leave without offering some of his top tips. And that's where I'll sign off from this current series of Talent Takes Time. Thank you so much for listening. I've been in this industry for over 20 years and I've learned so much from my guests, so I hope you have too. Best of luck with your own journey, and I'll be back soon with some more stories from those in the media. With that, here's Martin to take it away.
Yeah, I think have lots of ideas. Don't be afraid about making a fool of yourself, because I think if you have ideas and some, for every really good idea you might have one that's not so good and a couple that are very poor, but the very good one can be the one that makes all the difference. So yeah, don't be afraid to come forward with ideas and try and make contacts in the industry and within sport itself, and I think just be really enthusiastic.
Talent Takes Time is presented by me, Alison Bender. The series producer is Gary Hayes, and Matt Alabaster has produced all our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. If you'd like to know more about my career in the media, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter and TikTok at AliBenderTV. You can also sign up to my website, alisonbender.com, for more information on getting into the media industry. This has been a production for the Highway 61 Network.